At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hello.
My name is Hallie.
I'm Blair.
Welcome to Macabre. This is the final episode of season one.
Ooh, I can't believe we're here.
We made it. And on today's episode, they're coming to get you, Blair.
Well, after the shit that I looked up, it can stay wherever the fuck it is.
Brains. I want brains.
This morning I need more brains, that's for sure.
And coffee.
And fucking coffee, yep.
If you haven't guessed what today's episode is based on the title or the opening shenanigans, frankly, I'm disappointed and you need to go brush up on your movie trivia. Mm-hmm. And you might want to go back and watch that classic, because how dare you?
I know.
such a good movie.
Yes, very.
On today's episode, the letter Z is for zombie. So dig yourself out of whatever dark hole you're buried in, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and liven up a little, because we are uncovering the dark origins of the zombie.
Yes.
And discussing its modern influences.
I'm so excited.
Trying to see if I can find a way to like make this so I can see you and my screen at the same time.
You're going to be like, I need to see your face when you upchuck when you read about that one thing. I have like put up another window on my other monitor so that I don't have to look at those pictures for now.
Then I can just side-eye you the whole time. All right. Let's start from the beginning. Where did the concept of the zombie originate? The word zombie comes from the Haitian French word zombie, which means reanimation of a corpse. The history of the zombie can be traced back to Central and West Africa around the 17th century. For hundreds of years, West African people were enslaved and brought to Haiti to work on sugar plantations under cruel and unforgiving conditions. It was also during this time that a religion known as voodoo was born, and with it, the belief that a person's soul could be captured and stored outside of the body, creating a bodiless zombie. Yeah. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think we are definitely going to have to do an episode just on voodoo and hoodoo.
Do you think, Madame Laurie Laveau, there would be too much content to do them together, or you think of separate? Maybe
we could potentially do them separate.
Yeah, I think like there's probably a enough. Lot
on her.
Yeah she's oh, she has sure. enough. Yeah, definitely. Well, this concept of the zombie, rightfully so, instilled fear into enslaved people, and it was actually used as a tactic to prevent slaves from committing suicide. Because it was believed that if someone committed suicide, that they could be revived by a necromancer, also known as a bokor. Now, I may be pronouncing that incorrectly, but that's how my brain works, which was a sorcerer or a witch that could revive the dead and re-enslave them through a series of magical practices. So slaves were told, you commit suicide, guess what? We're going to revive you. You're going to come back. You're going to work as a slave forever.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So now the question is, how did this so-called bokor create a zombie? And it wasn't like our good old buddy Jeffrey Dahmer tried to do that, I can tell you. They used their own magical practices. Now, when I say magical practices, I don't really mean magical practices. What I really mean is that these so-called magical practices, these witches were actually using drugs. Specifically, they were using some pretty heavy-duty neurotoxins. And no, they weren't actually bringing anyone back from the dead. Well, at least not in the way that you might think. They were actually just about killing people and then bringing them back from the brink of death. So they were essentially drugging them to the point of death and giving that illusion. And then once they were that far gone, they were reviving them.
Can you imagine just coming back from that?
Oh my
God. Like the mental mind fuck that that person would go through, be like, I'm dead. And then it, coming back to consciousness, be like, I'm dead. I'm still dead.
Oh my God. No. And that will come into play later when I actually tell you one of the stories of where this actually occurred. So keep that in mind. And you know, that whole concept of the buried alive that we talked about in the Eye is for Idioms. So that actually will come into play later in this episode. Bokors had a tradition of using various concoctions to create their zombie powders, which contain a deadly neurotoxin, which I mentioned earlier, that is found in pufferfish venom called tetrodotoxin and some other marine species, along with strong plant-derived deliriants called datura. When used carefully at sublethal doses, now I'm sure they probably didn't always get it right. So there's probably quite a few incidences where this went very wrong. But when used appropriately, the combination can cause zombie-like symptoms, including mental confusion, trouble walking, slowed breathing, respiratory issues, obviously. Safe to say that with the right dosage, paralysis and coma are not out of the question. Now, this could easily make someone appear dead, and easily that person could be buried alive and then later revived. It was believed that when the bokor reanimated the corpse, that it could be brought back without the soul as a zombie, and the zombie would then remain under the control of the bokor. Therefore, the zombie could continue to be used as a slave even after reanimation.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And I can only imagine how scary it would be, you know, for a group of people to witness this, right? Because you're using this as a tactic to scare the slaves. So imagine them gathering a group of slaves to witness this and forcing them to witness this happening. And oh my gosh. Yeah. Probably a way they used it as a punishment too. Probably highly effective. Scary tactic, I would say.
Oh, definitely. Even knowing like the behind the scenes of it now, still wouldn't want that on me at all. Even knowing like, oh, maybe eventually I would kind of go back to, in quotes, normal. Mentally, probably never. But, you know, no.
Nope. Yeah. I feel like there was a movie in the 80s. I can't remember what the name of it was, but I remember watching it as a kid. Something about it has the word rainbow in the title. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Serpent. Serpent in the Rainbow or something like that? Does that ring
something
a bell?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Like a cult classic type film.
Listeners, feel free to tag us if you remember. But I remember that movie being very disturbing. And I think it was some sort of ritual along these lines. Yeah. I remember as a kid, I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? What am I watching?
You know? Right?
So I said I was going to tell you about one of the actual like well-documented cases, or at least retold real life events that happened. So this is one of the most well-documented, one of the weirdest alleged zombie stories. And it is the story of a man named Clavius Narcisse, who this actually took place in 1962. He was admitted.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was actually a lot later in history than I thought. He was admitted to a hospital. This happened in Haiti. Clavius Narcisse in 1962 was admitted to a hospital with a fever, fatigue, and severe respiratory issues. He slipped into a coma and died shortly thereafter. His body was actually held in cold storage for a short period of time, and then he was buried. Now, what is so crazy about this case is that 18 years later, a man approached a woman by the name of Angeliana Narcisse in a marketplace, claiming to be her brother, the same man who had been buried some 18 years prior, the same man, Clavius Narcisse. He said that he had been paralyzed but conscious during his burial. He claims to have recalled being dug up from his grave and was enslaved to work on a distant sugar plantation the whole time he had been missing. His family members and townspeople recognized him and vouched for him. He had even told stories from his past that his family members were able to verify that it was in fact him. He claims to have been turned into a zombie by Haitian voodoo, which would explain, and also the symptoms that I mentioned earlier aligned with some of the side effects that are presented when that neurotoxin powder is present in the body, the respiratory, the fever, all of that.
Oh, fucking woof. 18 years.
But also in 1962, this is not the 1800s.
Yeah. No, that's so recent. Like, I was thinking that I couldn't remember like when that had happened. I literally thought it was in the 1800s. Holy shit. No.
Well, that's a scary thought too, because it's, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It kind of makes you wonder. No. And I know shit like that has probably still happening today in third world countries. I mean, you know, we watch Hostel and weird movies like that. Yeah. And, you know, sex trafficking is still a thing, and child trafficking and all that. So, I mean, yeah, we live in a macabre world.
Very much
so. This stuff is still happening.
Yeah. Damn.
Now, I thought I'd shift us in a little bit of a different direction.
Okay.
Take us away from the magical powders, because not all zombies are created by magical powders. There are actually documented medical cases where people believe that they are zombies.
Oh.
Do you know about that?
No, actually.
Okay, I'm excited.
Oh,
okay.
No.
I was excited because I didn't know about this either. So there are documented medical cases where people actually believe that they are, and I quote, dead, missing their soul, missing organs, blood, or other body parts. This medical condition, which was given its name in the year 1880, Cotard's, is a rare mental health condition also known as walking corpse syndrome.
See, that sounds familiar.
Oh, the walking corpse?
Yeah.
Yeah, this medical condition is rarely seen as a standalone psychiatric condition. It tends to co-mingle with other psychiatric conditions, at least in my research.
Huh.
So people will tend to have it as a comorbidity with like severe depression, anxiety, other conditions, but you can look it up in like a lot of the research articles. Just type in Cotard syndrome or walking corpse syndrome. It's pretty wild. Like you can go down a pretty deep rabbit hole and like people truly will believe that they are dead. And actually that brings up an interesting discussion that I had the other day with a friend about a really heavy metal band that you may be familiar with. I think the band was called Mayhem.
Ah, yes. Mayhem.
Are you familiar? Are you familiar with them? They're a Norwegian band, right? And didn't the lead singer, think that he was dead? Like he even went by the name Dead on stage?
Yes. Yes. That sounds really familiar.
He committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
He like painted himself up like a corpse.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe he had cards.
Maybe he did. That's like crazy.
He was obsessed with death and just like even in his suicide note, he even expressed something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I'm making that connection because this was kind of like written before that discussion. So that's an interesting. That's so you have crazy. To look that up. So listeners, look up the band. I think it's called Mayhem. I think they were a Norwegian and the lead singer committed suicide. There's also some crazy stuff along with that. Like someone else in the band was murdered. Supposedly the person that found the lead singer's body made a necklace out of his skull fragments. And like supposedly something was made out of his brains, like a stew or something.
Man, we should cover that for a hometown macabre. We should take it to Norway.
yeah. But anyways, I digress. Tangent.
That's crazy though.
Yeah. So that condition is pretty wild. That's out there.
I'm just like, as soon as you started like describing the symptoms and stuff, I don't know why my brain went here, but I'm like picturing like one of those movies in the 90s where it's like a bunch of dude bros in a living room smoking weed. And one of them has a bad trip and is like, I don't have any legs, man. I'm missing my legs. Like, that's, I don't know why, but that's exactly where my brain went. And I was like, bad trip.
I actually had a friend that kind of happened to recently. So
what? Are you serious?
Couldn't feel his arms. I won't name any names, but pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
The quote was walking like a robot because he couldn't feel his arms, couldn't move his arms. Sounds like
That's so crazy, a
good stoner movie waiting to happen. Oh my gosh, I can't use my words today. Can't use my mouth.
What if that was like the premise for like a horror film where it was just like, we're experimenting in this new. You know, we want you to try it out. And then everybody ends up with that syndrome and then they turn into zombie. Oh, man.
It's like a zombie weed. This is like a zombie strain.
Zombie weed.
We got this new zombie strain. And it really is laced with that neurotoxin. Yeah. Oh,
that's how they get you now. That's probably what happens nowadays.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's all coming full circle back to our production company.
Yes, let's add it to the list of movies we want to make.
Right. We've got a new proposal for a zombie flick, people.
Yep.
All right. Well, now we're moving on to the folk. Like, when did this folklore kind of shift into moving from zombies being a soulless corpse to this ravenous undead creature that craves human flesh? Well, now we're going to move us up to the 20th century and modern pop culture.
Ooh.
And for me personally, I have to argue that the real shift started with George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
And I think there will be people that will argue and say that it goes back further to 1932, around the time of the release of the movie White Zombie, which came out in theaters mm-hmm. around the same time as, you know, the monster movie Frankenstein and Dracula. But mm-hmm. I've never seen White Zombie, and I'm guessing a lot of our listeners. Oh, you, of course you have.
I have a hard on for old movies. Okay. No,
I'm not surprised by that.
I could see it, honestly, though. You know, just based on where pop culture has taken it now, I would agree with you and say that it was Night of the Living Dead. White Zombie, I think, was kind of a gateway, but it wasn't quite there.
Yeah, it didn't have the same impact as Romero's film did. So exactly. I gotta give the win to Romero's 1968 Night of the Living Dead. Definitely. That's where the cult following began.
Yes.
That movie was creepy for its time. It did something to people. It was simple. It was effective. It played on our worst fears. Now, what I do find interesting about that film is the creatures in the film were never referred to as zombies. They were called ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still iconic.
Very.
And it paved the way for zombies in film and TV from that point forward. And did you know that they fucked up? There was something they fucked up, and you know how things get like copyrighted and protected? They fucked up something. And so that's why like there were so many zombie films and Night of the Living Deads and Night of This and Night of That. Like they didn't have the same protection. Like they messed up. And so that's why so many things like started coming out, because they messed up in their legalities. Yeah.
So, I did not know that.
Fun fact. Yep.
Huh. Weird.
Yep.
What if they had done it right? Where do you think the zombie scene would be in 2024?
I don't think it would have gone as far as it did, honestly.
No, I really think it would have been just a niche movie. Kind of like White Zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because of that one mistake, like so many other people were able to get their hands on it and kind of have that creative licensing to kind of do what they wanted with it, that it made it what it is today.
That's insane.
Yeah.
All because of a legal loop.
Yeah. So now zombies are literally everywhere. We can't get rid of mm-hmm. them. You know, we go through these cycles. We're starting to see zombies start to come back. Now that like The Walking Dead ended, and of course we have some spinoffs that are still happening, but we've got some new stuff that is in the works mm-hmm. that I'm really looking forward to. Before we wrap up the show, I thought we would do something a little bit fun, something a little bit different. We are at the end of our season one. So let's talk a little bit about zombie pop culture.
Yes.
So I thought I would dig into Blair's brain a little bit and ask, what are some of your favorite zombie movies? Let's start there.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well,
not to put you on the spot or anything, but to put you on the spot.
I know. Well, here's the thing. You did catch me off the guard, because the first thing I thought of when you said zombie pop culture, which is very close to my heart, is, of course, Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
The music video. That, to this day, that is my favorite zombie thing. I love it.
Question.
Yes.
Question. Can you do the dance?
You know what? I used to. I used to know the whole fucking thing. And when they would play it at school dances, you bet your sweet ass I was out there doing it.
See, I never learned the dance. I wanted to, but
I'm jealous. It's never too late. It is never too late. I dare you this weekend in your living room. You YouTube that son of a bitch.
So,
and you do it.
I will say, I do have the original album.
Yes!
Album. I do have the original record album in my collection, so.
Oh, I am jealous. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's a gem. That is a gem. They have, obviously, they've remastered it, you know, on vinyl, but an original. That's awesome.
So as far as movies, I'll have to follow and say my, probably one of my all-time favorites is 28 Days Later.
Oh, mine too.
Cillian Murphy. And some people will argue and say, I don't know if that's a zombie movie, but still, like, it's the rage. It's yeah. They're running around, like, going after people, biting, infecting.
Agreed.
So it counts. It counts.
It took it to another level. Yeah. It was creepy in a great way. Did you hear that they're going to be doing some new shit with that, by the way?
Yes. Yeah, and I saw that Cillian Murphy is most likely going to be involved in that next project. So I'm very, very
for real?
Excited. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I love Danny Boyle. And I had a feeling after his win for Oppenheimer that he might come back for that just because they're such good friends and, you know, kind of to close out the franchise. So I'm very excited for that project.
Right. No, me too. I'm very excited.
A comedic zombie?
Comedic zombie? Oh. Oh. Okay, is it bad? Is it bad that I want to say Bill Murray from Zombieland?
Oh my God, yes.
I don't know why, but that's like the first thing that pops into my head.
Love that one. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorites that I can rewatch and have rewatched probably every year is Shaun of the Dead.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. I take that back. 28 Days, not my favorite. That's got to get scooped down to Shaun of the fucking Dead, my favorite.
I do love Shaun of the Dead.
God. I fucking love it. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. I don't know.
So good.
I love that movie.
So good. Oh, and Walking Dead, I liked it for a long time until that one episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know what? Mm-hmm. I stopped.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I did stop after that.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, he was my favorite character, so.
Oh, I mean.
He was my show crush.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. Oh, that's terrible to say.
It's okay. It's okay.
I love you, Glenn. And then in modern, like what's been happening in modern, it's not exactly zombies, but it is zombies because it's mm-hmm. a new spin, and that is Last of Us.
Yes. Oh, okay. Here's a question for you. What do you like better, Last of Us or Walking Dead?
You know, as it stands right now, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier seasons of Walking Dead I really liked. Mm-hmm. Last of Us is different because you're talking about the cordyceps, mm-hmm. which is a different kind of concept. And I love that because we know that that is a real thing with the, what is it? The fungus.
Yes.
The cordyceps. You know.
Well, you want me to try to, I'll say it one time and I'm going to butcher it. Medical listeners, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But it is called Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. AKA, mostly known as the zombie ant fungus. If you've never seen it, like, the first time I ever saw something about this was when I was in, I think I was in college, actually. I watched a documentary about insects and fungi, like, it was a two-part thing, and I was absolutely horrified by this thing. I mean, I have a very strong stomach. but in nature, there's like two things that really like make me nauseous immediately, and this is one of them. It's disgusting and it's terrifying, because what it is this fungus, whether an insect like, you know, ingests it, or like just as, you know, it touches it too much and it like gets into the, it's like this thing where it like takes over the insect's brain, and the fungus uses the corpse and what's left of the brain of the insect to do its own bidding. So the insect is basically like a zombie. Now, fortunately, this is not something that can transfer to humans as of yet, but as we know with some fungi, that they're very adaptable to shit. So I'm just going to knock on wood right now. You just leave it where it is. But that's actually not the only thing that exists out there that's like zombie-ish with nature. There's also something that has been kind of going on for, I think, a couple decades in the U.S. I think it started in Colorado. I could be wrong about that. I'm going to look up something on it. But it's, have you heard of the zombie deer disease?
No.
Oh, dude.
Is it plant-based or is it still in the fungi family?
So I think it's technically in the fungi, and it's something that kind of like latches on to some of the foliage that deer eat. And I can't remember if this was like in the 80s or 90s, they started noticing something was going on with certain areas in the West with the deer. They were just acting funny. Like they were slow. They looked really gaunt. Like they were just kind of like not really noticing other people or, you know, dangers in the surroundings. They're just kind of like there. So they would take these deer and do some tests on them, and they found that it was this bacteria attacking their system that was making them very lethargic, not giving them enough of an appetite to really eat, so they were losing a ton of weight. It was causing their brain to like fog, kind of similar to like what you would get with COVID, like the COVID brain, they call it. It's kind of like that. And it's something to where when they initially found this in deer, they were like, you know what, at this point you shouldn't be eating these deer. But it's not necessarily a risk to humans at this point, but there has been a resurgence in the last couple years, actually, where if you eat enough venison from the deer that has eaten enough of it and been affected, it can potentially affect humans. Actually, recently this would have been probably in January, I think. Yeah, I think it was in January. There is I won't give a full location because I don't want to hurt anybody's business or anything for Wisconsinites listening, but there is a section of deer farms somewhere in Wisconsin where they had a certain percentage of their deer come down with this disease, and they had to euthanize all of the farm.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they're saying too now, for deer hunters, that when they go to get meat processed, they should be definitely asking them to check for that disease, because you don't know where it's coming from. Or, you know, usually if it's like a certain area where they have a certain percentage of deer that are coming down with it, then they're like, yeah, you shouldn't be, you know, going in this area to do any hunting. But yeah, fucking weird. Fucking weird. And it can be fatal, I think, to deer. Eventually, like, it just kind of ruins them.
Yeah, it's scary to think about all these things have the ability to adapt.
Yeah, and that's with fungus. I mean, like, we were kind of talking about that with the guys from Cryptids of the Corn too, just that they're starting to put certain types of fungi in like microchips and stuff like that. Yeah.
Computer chips.
And it's like developing its own intelligence. It's just fucking weird. And I think like you were saying with The Last of Us, it's taken a new turn with zombies. I think you're so right. Like it's morphing with the culture. And I think since COVID, the image of zombies has changed quite a bit. A lot of it is medically induced now, or it involves some sort of plague. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's actually some other shows that are coming out on Amazon Prime. Yeah. They're also based on video games that have been out.
Yes.
I think Fallout may be one of them. I don't really know the concept behind that, but it looks really, really good.
I'm excited for that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Zombies are here to stay. There's another movie, I think, where it's an older movie where zombies are kind of domesticated and they're people's pets. That one's kind of weird.
Oh,
yes. And, like chain, like, know, you know, neck chains in the yard and stuff. And like some of it gets weird because like there's like this one housewife that like has one as like a sex slave, which is really fucking weird. But yeah. Okay, on a more serious note.
Okay.
Zombie apocalypse scenario. Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. You have to make some fast decisions.
Shit. Like
really fast. Really fast decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You have like, I'm going to give you, because I know you're kind of like, you're kind of out in the boonies a little bit.
Yes.
You have to choose. I'm going to give you like 30 minutes.
Okay.
Where are you going to go to like fortify yourself? You have 30 minutes to get somewhere to fortify yourself. Where are you going to go? And this is where you're going to hole up for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think. Based on I don't want to give that much away because I don't want to like give a lot of details about them, but I think that I would rush to my fiance's parents' house or their uncle's house because they're all gonna gather and they are all gonna be very, very prepared and just prepared, let's just put it that way. And there's going to be basically his whole family there. It's going to be a big community with a lot of different resources. And I think that they're even further out in the boonies than I am. So it would be much safer there because his uncle doesn't have any neighbors. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good choice. So my immediate thought is like, and this is probably everybody else's thought, so it's probably not really a good choice, but I'm like, I'm going to Costco.
Ooh.
So yes. If I can get a group of people together that already have like weapons and stuff, and we can go to Costco and just like take over the Costco, because there's a pharmacy, right?
Yep.
There's pharmacy, there's food. You know, if you can take over that and like secure and lock that down, then I feel like that's a good place to be.
Yep.
But also everybody else is also going to probably try to go to Costco. So right? It's probably not great.
You have to have a big group. Fortify and defend
the Costco. Yeah. And I think there's a movie that they kind of do that and it doesn't go well. So probably not the best choice.
Oh, I've seen that one too. And I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, it did not go well.
Yeah. Okay. So next question, what is your weapon of choice?
Oh, I am so clumsy. I honestly think it would be a machete type thing.
Okay. Long blade.
Yeah. Yep. Short, try to go for a longer blade.
Short range of motion. Something you can just. Yeah.
Okay. Lob the head off right away. Yep.
I can see you doing that. And then you'd probably like wrap your arm with something.
Oh, I'd have protective. To. I'd probably. Yeah. I'd have to. Mainly because I'd have to make sure I didn't chop my own damn arm off.
Yeah, I think I would go with something like a small axe or a hatchet. Something with like a really sharp edge and then like something blunt on the other side. Probably what I would go with.
That's a good one.
If you got bitten, like on a limb, could you mm-hmm. cut your own limb off? If you had to.
You know, I think I would have enough willpower to do it. It would take me a little bit and I'd probably pass out in the process, but I would still try to stick with that, I guess. I did. This is like obviously no comparison, but I did have to rip my own nose ring out when it got healed into my actual nose. And I was like, I can't push it back in. There's no way, because it was an L shape, that the L was actually, that portion was stuck in the middle, like in the cartilage. There was no way that was coming through back through my nose. So I was like, it's got to come out. And I fucking did it.
You did it.
By myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put on some metal and I fucking did it.
Yeah. I've had to do some pretty hard things too. So I'm like, I don't want to, but I could probably do some pretty hard things if I had to.
Right.
Could you shoot someone that you cared about if they got bitten, like, on the neck or somewhere close, right? Because it's close proximity to the brain. You know, mm-hmm. the time frame for them to turn is going to be pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could.
You'd want somebody else to do it.
Yeah. If there was the option, I think I would have somebody else do it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Same. I couldn't shoot you, friend. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't shoot you either. I'd be sitting there like, nope, eat me then. Eat me when you turn into a zombie. Damn it. Then we'll be zombies together. Yeah.
And then last but not least, I have a few tips from the zombie survival guide.
Yeah.
So, ladies. Short hair, tight clothes.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. you know, short hair is harder to grab. Tight clothes, again, yep. harder to grab when you're running. If you got loose clothes flailing around, it's going to be a lot easier for a zombie to get a hold of you. So
yep.
just more reason to wear tight-fitting clothes if you want to. blades, don't need reloading. Blades are always good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Get out of that car and get onto a bike.
Yep.
Helmets come in handy.
Yep.
Protecting that brain. And then as always, protect the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Protect the neck and wrap up those forearms.
So you don't chop your own arm off like I probably would.
And just arm for biting, you know, protect the yeah. neck and wrap that forearm up. Wrap it.
Yep. Wrap it
up
before people. You.
Wrap it before the zombies attack it.
Yeah. Wrap it before you smack it.
And yeah, those are my zombie survival guide tips. And
those yeah. are good.
So, one other fun fact is up until recently, the CDC did have their own zombie apocalypse page.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
Took it down. They took it down. I was going to link it, and then I went to go find it. It's not there anymore.
I think that, wasn't it when kind of COVID started happening, and they didn't want to freak people out even more, so they took that down so that they or am I wrong on that?
I don't remember exactly when they took it down, but it was a legit zombie preparedness page on yeah. the CDC website. And yep. I think it kind of coincided when The Walking Dead was really popular and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they kind of played it off as a joke. But I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. You're telling right. me it's that the CDC. Government put in all these resources and money and time for mm-hmm. a joke?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. CDC, you're not supposed to be known for being funny.
Yeah. And then also one of the most fun things I've ever done was the Comic-Con zombie walk in San Diego.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so cool.
It was a lot of fun. And then some dumbass decided to take their car through the crowd and drive into a bunch of people and injured a bunch of people and got that whole thing shut down. So they don't do it anymore. Gosh. Yeah, that was the year that I did the walk was the last year that it actually happened. It was further up in the walk that some guy drove his, I was like a van or I don't know, some sort of vehicle. But it was a pretty big event. It's like thousands of people did this walk. And, you know, it was just people like me that just wanted to dress up and walk and through the streets. It was just a fun thing. And, like, people went all out. I mean, you have people come up from L.A. that were, like, makeup artists and, you know, like, full-on prosthetics and actors. That's
so cool.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
That is so cool. They don't do it anymore, but back in the day in college, they used to have zombie pub crawls around here. So you'd see some pretty cool people dress up like zombies in bars, and pretty fun.
Yeah. So what do you think our fascination with zombies is? Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, okay. Okay, this is horrible, and I should remember this because I literally did a project on this in college. So, if I remember correctly, it has to do basically with people's fascination and fear of death. And based on how the Victorian era was, it was all ghosts, all spirits, seances, and that kind of thing. And then we got into this new realm with popular culture that involved more monster-like things, not just spirits. And I think that kind of that fascination never went away, but it just evolved into zombies. We are really obsessed with end of days. And I think you take that obsession with and fear of death and the apocalypse, and you throw it together and you get zombies and survival. And I think that that's kind of how it all stemmed. But
yeah, and my thought was, is it kind of a precautionary tale? Because if you think about the idea of the morality of like with Frankenstein and bringing something back from the dead and like the consequences of messing with the natural, like the laws of nature and what can happen. So is that where it comes from? Is like, oh, you're messing with the natural laws and life and death. And then when you do this, this is going to happen and it's going to cause havoc. And is maybe that where that comes from, is like, you know, like the Frankenstein. But Frankenstein wasn't trying to eat people, but
nope.
I don't know. Just evolved, I guess, over time.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think that is one thing that is in like scary movies and stories and shows and all this stuff that evolves. More so like you get the vampire also that it has evolved over time, but zombies seem to be the most adaptable in popular culture with how they're portrayed, and they seem to really reflect what's going on in society at the time when it was filmed. And it makes you wonder if going forward, because there's so much now with AI, like instead of having The Last of Us where it's like fungus, kind of reflecting on, oh, like, well, we're coming out of COVID. Everybody's really paranoid about diseases and how things can be contagious and latch onto the body. And with AI, are we going to start seeing more digital type zombies? Or like, you know, you hear about, oh, the chip in the head people talk about a lot. Is that going to become something in popular culture that we're going to start seeing where you're literally in a robot zombie of sorts? It's just AI or some sort of technology taking over your body until you are absolutely decayed off the bone, you know? If you take that idea from me, I swear. No,
it's gonna happen.
Oh, it's so gonna happen. They're probably already working on something like that, to be honest. Yeah, but
it's like, probably that's out there.
Yeah. Zombies are ever changing. But yeah. Ugh. Zombies are a weird topic.
Zombies will live on.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
But yeah. So yeah, this was a shorter episode, people. Wrapping up the season. Not a whole lot of content on zombies, as you can imagine, but we would have to go into a lot of pop culture. Didn't want to get into a lot of film and TV discussion. Just wanted to brush on that a little bit. But yeah, it's been a fun first season. We're really excited to go into season two with you, and really appreciate you being along for the ride for season one.
It's been crazy.
I know. So big things ahead. Hope you stick around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope you have enjoyed what you've been hearing in this season. Like, we definitely didn't think that we would be here at this point with everything going on. You guys are incredible. Between Patreon and the Facebook page and all of the stories that we're starting to hear that are coming in, it is fucking fantastic. And I don't know if we want to give too much away, but we really want to move forward with that in season two. We want to take more of your stuff and really dive into it, because you are giving us some really great stories and great resources, and we are absolutely not ignoring that. You guys are freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot more hometown macabre stuff coming out, which Claire, I don't think I even told you this yet, but we did get another true crime story that's in the inbox about a murder case. So that'll be coming out too. But yeah.
Look at you go, you guys.
It's going to get real dark on season two. Yeah, so we hope you're really here for it. We hope you're here for it.
We're not called macabre for any other reason, really. Sorry. We try to bring the humor, but I hope you weren't thinking it was all going to be puppies and rainbows.
Yep. Buckle up, buttercups.
Yeah. Man, this has been fantastic. We love you so much. And we can't thank you enough for all of your support, all of the feedback we've gotten, for all the times we've been able to hang out with you over on the medias. You guys are, I can't say it enough. You're just awesome.
Yep. And just so you know, we will be taking just a brief break until season two. So expect to see us back in the first part of May.
Yes. Do a little bit of a, you know, season finale, like, celebration.
Little fun thing in between.
Yeah.
Yep.
Heck yeah. So check that out. We'll have more info about that later. But you know what? Season two, baby. Here we go.
Otherwise, come see us on the private Facebook group, because we'll be active on there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to get a little bit of more action, don't forget about Patreon.
Till next time.
Yes. Have fun. Be safe. We love you.
Keep it macabre.
Keep it macabre. Season two, baby. Så jag fortsätter gå.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold 2 companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than 1 million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.